We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back into the second hour of the show. I am Josh Phillips. This is Straight Up with Sturge. I'm joined by Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast. Some great discussion on the show today. We've been talking NFL games this week, big games, the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys, which now may turn into Flugate.
Yeah, TB, we got some breaking
TB,
news.
You've got some breaking news about what Belichick has gone through the Cowboys locker room now.
Yeah, so I truly believe that Belichick had some somehow spread the flu around the Cowboys locker room. It's been reported by DallasCowboys.com that a couple of players have the flu right now, and they are giving players medicine for precautions. I think Belichick has something in his pocket and maybe put it on the put it in the team cantaloupe, and everybody has the flu right now. Smart. The guy's a genius.
Well, it may not hurt him because now apparently it's broken that Tom Brady may be injured.
Yeah, so you're going to have to adjust the score.
Well, now they'll just win 30-10.
I'm telling you, man.
They'll bring back Matt Castle because it didn't matter.
Dallas has a tendency to win games they have no business winning.
Yes, they do.
Every single year. Every game where you think they're going to get blown out, they win. And the games that you think they're going to blow somebody out, they lose, a la Jets.
Correct.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas win. Not one bit.
Well, you're still going – I will be – because I'm just not sold. I mean, Dallas is 6-4.
They are, man. And
this is not a great team.
We haven't beat anybody with a winner. One team, and that's Philly, and they rarely have a winning record.
Yeah, and Philly's not that good right now either.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being a Philadelphia fan. And I actually said this. I thought Philly made a bad mistake. They should have traded Wentz and kept Foles.
Politics.
Because Foles was the better quarterback. Foles was the better leader. Foles was the better locker room guy.
But he wasn't that high draft pick.
Well, and guess what?
You know how that goes.
They've suffered for it.
Yeah, big time. I thought they should have kept Foles as well. The team liked him.
Exactly.
You could tell.
He knew how to distribute the football.
Exactly. He was better for the team. As people like to say, he was better for the system.
Yes, I can tell you somebody who has not been good for the system. And we touched on it a little bit in the first hour. What do you want to do with Cam Newton?
Keep him. You have to. At least for next season.
I'm going to jump out of a window.
What else are you going to do? Now, what TV. I would suggest, you trade him if you're going to start over.
Just
if
you're not. You're not going to get anything for him.
If you're not planning on starting over,
you
have to keep him.
You waited a year too long.
I think you no.
He was damaged goods. If he was a car, he would be a lemon.
You telling me John Elway and the Denver Broncos, as putrid as
he
is,
they would be stupid enough. Yes, they would be stupid enough
exactly.
to take him.
I guarantee they would hop on. If they put Cam Newton on the trade table, Broncos would give up a second or a third for Cam.
Well, I've said this. The NFL has proven for them to be the smartest supposed football minds in the world, you can better believe there's at least one sucker in the NFL.
Chicago Bears, they're on the precipice.
Oh, don't get me started with the Mitch Trubisky thing.
It's their own fault. They had Watson right there in their lap, and they decided to skip him.
And if I remember correctly, a certain talk show host did an NFL draft preview.
We were all there at a bar, I believe.
I believe
night.
So. Yeah. And a certain sports talk radio host turned coach warned that the best quarterback in that draft was Deshaun Watson. And
I was shocked.
Everybody poo-pooed on me. And now they're not poo-pooing.
Well, you can say the Bears might have a case of diarrhea.
Well, with Trubisky, I mean, why in the world? I still don't understand how anybody with a logical mind, let alone an NFL GM, could possibly think that a guy with only 1 year of college experience is worth over a guy that was a 3.5 year starter, every school record, hung 500 yards against the supposed best defense in the history of college football.
Twice.
Correct. 900 yards twice against Alabama. Yeah. And you think Mitch Trubisky is better than him. Excuse me, Mitchell.
It's because the inertia of the media is too great and people always buy into the hype. Every single time they buy it. It's why a coaching carousel is always so nuts, because there's somebody who makes you go, huh? But why did that top 25 prestige program just hire that guy? Why did Willie Taggart get the job at Florida State?
That's an excellent question.
Well, huh? Because the media inertia wills it to be so.
But when did the hype begin with Trubisky? Because I didn't see anything
in
North
fast.
Carolina.
It happened so fast.
It started about the last quarter of that year is when it started. Because, and I'm not saying this in a weird way, it's just the truth, he fits all the measurables. He's a good-looking guy. He kind of fell into that Derek Carr's brother. Remember when Houston bet the farm on him?
Yeah, or the Jets with Sanchez.
The Jets with Sanchez, okay? Trubisky fit the mold. He's 6'4", 230 pounds, decent speed, rocket of an arm, somebody that we can develop. Everybody knew Fedora was getting ready to get fired. So everybody cut the kid a slack because they said, well, he hasn't really been developed, and he's got all of this God-given athletic ability that if we go ahead and snatch him up now, in 2 years of NFL tutelage, he's going to be the next Tom Brady.
But with what you're saying, Deshaun Watson fit every single one of those attributes, except if you look at Deshaun Watson, he's 80 times better, and you can tell that in college.
TB, let me tell you something. I had NFL scout buddies of mine telling me how crazy I was for saying Deshaun Watson should be the number one overall pick in that draft and that he was the best quarterback. I had NFL scout buddies of mine, because they listened to the show.
Yeah.
Okay? Telling me how, Josh, you're over. See, that's what they, when you get involved in talent analysis, you're either on point, you either overvalue or you either undervalue a player or a prospect. And all they kept telling me was, bro, you're overvaluing this kid. You're overvaluing this kid. You're undervaluing Trubisky. His ceiling is higher. Here is what NFL scouts told me to my face. Trubisky's ceiling is higher. Deshaun Watson has maxed out. He doesn't have enough room to grow.
In college?
Because the NFL, here's what the NFL does from an analytics standpoint, is when they look at and they're trying to draft or decide whether to draft a kid or not, they're trying to see how much better can he get. Can he get 10% better? Can he get 20% better? Can he get 25% better?
Right.
Okay? And so then they try to formulate, okay, if we think he can get 20, the top tier guys, they think can get 20 to 25% better, that's who they're going to devote the most time to, because they think long term, that's where their most value is going to come from. So when they think a kid has maxed out, because it's happened, that's how you get an NFL bust. Geno Toretta. Geno Toretta maxed out at the University of Miami. He was not going to get any better. That's why he washed out in the NFL.
Danny Werfel.
Tim Tebow. Jamarcus Russell. Okay? You know who was a 20-25% quarterback?
Oh, Jamarcus Russell.
Wow. You know who a 20-25% quarterback was?
Who?
Michael Vick. Michael Vick actually got better in the NFL, if you can believe that.
Now, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott has gotten better. Now, I don't know if he's in that. He might be around the 10 to 15, but he's getting there.
He's getting there.
Okay. Tom Brady was a 20-25% guy. Joe Montana, 20-25% guy. Okay. John Elway was a 5-10% guy. And now, what that means is he was an outstanding player.
Right.
And he did marginally get better, which was good enough because he was already so good. Clowney has gotten 10% better, and he's darn near unblockable.
When healthy?
When healthy. Aaron Donald is a 20-25% guy.
Yeah, what was killing me with Watson, with the pundits, I think a lot of people look at him, and, you know, you can make your own conclusions, but they would look at Watson and look at him as a scrambling QB. But nobody saw the accuracy. He was pinpoint accurate at Clemson.
Well, here's the
other
thing.
But he was smart. That's what a lot of people underestimate about Deshaun.
Here's the other thing. Is they said he's a system quarterback.
Yeah.
That Clemson is a half-field offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate to tell Clemson fans this. Now, I disagree with it because a lot of those guys I know marginally and know pretty well. And the point that you just made, I'm going to back that up by a comment Jeff Scott told me. Is people knocked Deshaun Watson because they didn't believe, they thought he was surrounded by elite talent. They thought he didn't have the capability to do what they called across the board reads as a quarterback, because the Clemson staff only gave him a half-field read.
I'm telling you, man, just go back and look at the tape. You could tell the kid was reading defenses. Look how he dissected Alabama.
I totally agree with you. And this goes back to a comment, and I know he's not going to get mad at me for sharing this, is I literally looked at Jeff Scott one day. I saw him at a function. He and I were playing golf together. And I looked at him and I said, what makes that kid so good? And he said the exact same thing that you just brought up. He said, Josh, he processes things faster. He goes, you show him a defense once, you might get him that one time, but you're not going to get him the second. He knows it.
I'm going to tell you, man, a lot of people used to laugh at that show, but Gruden-Camp.
Yes.
Gruden-Camp showed me a lot. It actually showed me a lot about Trubisky, where I was like, this is not going to work. But you could see how smart Deshaun was just on that clip.
Correct. And when you start talking about elite quarterbacks and you start talking about what separates franchise quarterbacks from – that's why I was really promoting Josh Allen. Okay? Nobody knew who the heck Josh Allen was coming out of Wyoming. And I tried to tell everybody, look, this kid is deserving of a top 10 pick. Most people didn't even know who the heck he was. And the reason for that is when I was doing my research, I was trying to look at how well does he process things. Because at the NFL level, from an athletic standpoint, all of those guys are really about the same. I mean, there's really not that much difference. And I know the smart Alex out there in the listening audience are going to say 5 yards. But there's really not that much difference between a guy that can throw the football 60, 70 yards in the air and a guy that can throw the ball 55 to 60 yards in the air. They both got strong arms. What separates NFL great quarterbacks is two things.
Do you have the answers to the test?
Decision making, which goes into processing, and a quick release.
Yes, releases everything.
Who right now are the best quarterbacks that fit those two things? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. Consequently, they're the best quarterbacks in the league.
Pat Mahomes.
Mahomes is one of them, correct. But he extends so many plays that he gets added to it, and that's a credit to him. So, and then arm talent comes in there third. I mean, look, you've got to have a fairly strong arm. Now, you don't have to have the strongest arm. Montana did not. But he had great accuracy. He had great footwork. He was a clinician when it came to throwing the football. Peyton Manning was the same way. Peyton Manning when people go back and analyze the great quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, Peyton Manning is not going to be known as a guy that had one of the best arms.
And he
he's just not. But he was like Deshaun Watson. And a matter of fact, a lot of people compared that really knew Deshaun said he could process like Peyton Manning with 10 times more athletic ability than Peyton Manning ever thought about having.
But you can see it. And I think the reason why you haven't saw the full display of Watson talent right now is that offensive line in Houston.
Horrendous.
The worst.
And see, that's why, and I know you get mad at me and a lot of Cowboys fans get mad at me because of my criticism of Dak and my overall criticism of Dallas as a whole.
I'm with you on that.
Because I look at, if you were to swap teams and you were to put Deshaun Watson on this Dallas Cowboys team, Dallas would go to the Super Bowl every single year.
Agreed.
Every single year.
With that talent,
if you put Deshaun Watson behind Dallas's offensive line with Zeke Elliott in the backfield, with Amari Cooper, and I've got to be honest, Gallup has really come into his own. Everybody starts talking about how Dak has taken his game to the next level. I think a lot of it has to do with the emergence and improvement of Gallup, because now he's come in as a bona fide second option in that offense. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips. Sitting alongside me is joining is Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast. Excuse me. As we continue our NFL discussion, I want to talk a little bit about this 49ers-Green Bay game, because that game, I know Dallas and Green Bay, Dallas and New England is getting the headlines right now, because there's this silly notion that people actually think the Cowboys are decent. And they're playing the New England Patriots. But to me, the real game is between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. It's been a long time. People talk about, you know, my buddies give me grief over, you know, Dallas on a drought from the Super Bowl. It's been a long time since San Francisco. When was the Harbaugh Bowl? 15 years ago?
Sadly, whenever the last time number 7 was throwing the ball.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a while since San Francisco has been even in the discussion of winning the NFC or the NFL of the Super Bowl. And now they're 9-1, got the best record in football, playing the Green Bay Packers, who made some incredible people want to understand how to run an organization. As much, and I hate to say this because I hate Green Bay. I mean, if you're a Dallas, if you're a true Cowboys fan, there's two teams you really dislike.
Philly.
The first of them being the Washington Redskins. But that's an old rivalry.
Yeah.
That's for us old school Cowboys fans. New school, it's Philly. And then the third one, and again, this is a long, it's an old man's rivalry. Dallas and Green Bay have had a rivalry that's extended all the way back to the Lombardi era. Because of the relationship that Vince Lombardi was the offensive coordinator of the New York Football Giants, and a guy by the name of Tom Landry was the defensive coordinator. Imagine being the head coach of the New York Football Giants and your offensive coordinator is Vince Lombardi and your defensive coordinator is Tom Landry.
Man, and speaking of, I just got a text from Chris that does the podcast. He wanted me to tell you that San Francisco was overrated. This season?
This season? I don't think so, Chris, because of their defense.
Their defense is very legit. Bosa is playing lights out.
Unbelievable.
You got Sherman over there patrolling everything on the corner.
What a great pickup he was in the offseason.
It was key. I thought they was going to get Earl Thomas because of that Sherman connection. But San Francisco, this is the thing about the 49ers. I liked them last year. But while Jimmy G was out, that team was playing hard, and they was almost in every single game. So you could see the talent was there. They were just missing the quarterback to bring it all together. Now that Jimmy G is playing at an elite level, I really like this San Francisco team.
Yeah, I do as well. And I think this game is going to tell us if San Francisco is legit or not, because just like in the NFC Championship, which I think we'll probably see these two teams again,
yeah,
quite honestly.
Can't count out Seattle, though.
You know what? Here's the problem I have with Seattle. Russell Wilson is constantly running for his life. And to me, come playoff time, I think the moves that Green Bay made on defense, which I thought was phenomenal, and has really gotten them, because what you're doing is you're giving Aaron Rodgers more opportunities to win the game.
Yep.
You know, Green Bay's not scoring a lot of points, but they're very efficient because their defense will get a timely stop, and then their offense will score at just the right time to win the game. So even though it may look like, oh, well, the offense is about average, you know, they're winning games 24-10, 24-7, every now and then they'll hit 35, 40 points. But they're kind of in that 24 to 30-point game. Well, how are they getting the 8-2? Well, it's because of the moves they made defensively. And then the other thing I got to give them credit for is Green Bay's offensive line has held up a lot better. You know, that Bakhtiari and all those guys have been injured, it seems like, for the last 3 years. Well, now I think they are finally fully, fully healthy. And Aaron Rodgers feels comfortable that he can make the reads necessary without running for his life. Now, he's still exceptionally athletic, and his accuracy has always been pinpoint. And I'm excited about this game. I'm going to watch this game a lot more than I will Dallas and New England, because to me, there's not a lot of theater in that game. This is going to determine for me who wins the NFC,
yeah,
because I definitely think these two teams are going to see each other. And then the other thing it's going to prove is whether Jimmy Garoppolo and this defense is ready to take that next step to challenge for a Super Bowl. Because after watching San Francisco for a couple of weeks, they remind me, I'm not saying they're in this classification, but they remind me a lot of those Tampa Bay teams that won the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
When Gruden was there. They're reminding me of the Baltimore Ravens defense. And what I mean by that is, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have to be – he doesn't have to win the game. All he has to do is manage the game. Don't turn the football over. A punt is not a bad play.
How long is the tight end out? I know he's hurt.
Kittles?
Yeah, Kittles. That's going to be key.
That's a great question.
Especially come playoff time. I don't know if he's out for the year or not. I didn't see any information on that.
Yeah, we'll look that up and we'll find out when George Kittle – is supposed to come back, or if he comes back. But they're winning the old-fashioned way, and right. that's managing the managing the offense and playing great defense. And but now you're facing number 12.
And apparently, I mean, San Francisco got a rough schedule coming up down. I think the next three games are pretty brutal. So we're about to see exactly what this team is made of. I keep saying, you know, watch out for Seattle, because when it gets to the meat of the schedule and towards the end, and especially playoffs, that's when coaching comes into play.
It does.
And I like Pete Carroll over a rookie head coach, and maybe, you know, the coach of San Francisco as well.
Shanahan's really good.
He's really good.
Oh,
I mean,
he's really good.
Atlanta would never be the same because of Shanahan, but I like the veteran leadership in Seattle with Russell Wilson, who's playing amazing right now, and I like Pete Carroll.
Well, and I'll say this. John Lynch should win Executive of the Year.
Oh man, he's done an amazing job.
Amazing. I mean, when he first got the job, people thought that Elway was the more superior GM.
People was questioning the Bosa pick.
Correct.
And look how that turned out.
Well, here's a crazy thing. Going back all the way to high school and that kid on Ohio State, I always thought that Nick Bosa was better than Joey.
Right.
I just thought he was a better player. I thought he could play all five positions on the defensive line, which puts him in the category of a Howie Long, a Warren Sapp, a John Randall. I'm showing my age with that one. Okay, but a five-way player on the defensive line allows you to move that guy around and you can't get a beat on him. His older brother can't play that way. He's got to be an edge guy. He can't play down in the trenches. He gets beaten up. I mean, he got beat up against New England. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in Chris. Chris wants to talk NFL. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Josh? Tyler, how are you?
What's going on, Chris?
I'm doing awesome. I hope you are.
I am as well. So here's my prediction. Green Bay versus the Seahawks in the NFC Championship. I don't see, because of the tough schedule that San Francisco has, I don't see them being able to keep up with the rest of the league. And I also think Kittle is a big part of their offense. And from what I saw, he's out at least 4 weeks.
Well, I'm taking a look right now to see exactly what the 49ers' last five games are after Green Bay. They go on the road to the Ravens, which they should be able to win that game. They've got to go to New Orleans to play the Saints. That's a tough one. The Falcons go to the Bay Area. They'll beat the Falcons. They've got the Rams. They'll beat the Rams.
Rivalry game.
They've got the Rams at home. They should beat the Rams. That last game, you know, from what I'm seeing, there's two games left on their schedule that's going to define their season. This weekend against the Packers and the last game on the road against Seattle.
But I think the Ravens is going to be a tough game as well for them. Ravens, I wouldn't count them out.
Yeah, and it's in Baltimore. Even,
well, my question is how are the Ravens going to score?
Well,
because if there's if there's a defense out there that can contain Lamar Jackson, it's definitely the 49ers. They've got enough speed defensively to take him out of the game.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be interesting. I think, to be honest with you, I think that game, the Ravens 49ers game, is a bigger game than this week's game. Because that's going to be able to tell you what kind of defense actually the 49ers have.
Well, Chris, we're going to find out. Thank you so much for the phone call. I'm looking up right now George Kittle. George Kittle was actually back at practice today after missing the last two games with an ankle and knee injury. So there is some hope he might be back this week.
Right.
Now, I'm going to say no.
I think that the way they have him listed is questionable.
They've got him listed. Adam Schefter is reporting that George Kittle was back at practice today and that he's questionable for the game Sunday against the Packers.
I would keep him out this Sunday.
I would definitely keep him out if he's questionable, which leads me to believe he's going to be ready to go after this week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I look at it. Keep him out this week. Save him for down the stretch.
And if that's the case and he comes back and he's healthy, I think after this week, I think San Francisco runs the table. I think they beat the Ravens, they beat the Saints, they beat the Falcons, they beat the Rams, and then it comes down to them and the Seahawks in that last game.
I'm telling you, man, that Baltimore game might be iffy. Just because, you know, the Patriots, they said that the Patriots was a historic defense, and he diced New England.
Well, the thing that the Ravens did in that game, and he did, Lamar Jackson played outstanding, is the Ravens did a great job of attacking New England's weaknesses with all the injuries they had.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to get pressure on Brady a lot.
Well, what separates San Francisco defense from New England, I do think San Francisco have more athletes on the defensive end, and that's going to be key going against Lamar Jackson as he's scrambling around the field.
Yeah, it is. But like I was telling Chris, if there's one defense out there that can contain Lamar Jackson, I do think it's the 49ers.
Yeah, they're a lot more athletic, man. That's a fast defense. They fly around the field.
And I think those two games, throw in the Saints too as well.
In New Orleans.
It is in New Orleans, which is exceptionally difficult.
And Atlanta is playing, they're playing better on a two-game winning streak.
But there's something about Aaron Rodgers when the pressure's on. How many times has he broken my heart?
Oh,
where you've got him beat.
I don't even want to talk about it.
And you get the ball in the last, and you give him the ball in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes, and he goes down and he beats you. I just don't know if the 49ers are able to handle the moment right now and whether they can handle looking across there and seeing Aaron Rodgers. I think this is one of those games where the Hall of Fame Aaron Rodgers comes out and says, watch this. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into the second hour here at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips along with Tyler Butler sitting in with us tonight. Of the BS podcast, Caroline over there working the board and the phones, doing an outstanding job. As we look across the board of these NFL and college football games, headed into the weekend and into Thanksgiving next week. Can't believe that it's Turkey Day already. TB, you got some big plans next week?
Nah, man, we might just cook, chill out at the house, and rest.
And now you were saying there's some breaking news about Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, man, I just saw that. This is very unfortunate, but it may be good news for Alabama fans. So the insurance policy that he took out of Alabama did not include a loss of value policy. And what that really means is he can't recoup millions if he drops from the first round. So most players have injury insurance just in case they do drop coming off an injury where they can still recoup millions of dollars. Tua did not have that. The only insurance policy that he has is if the doctors were to rule that he's pretty much his career is over, he can recruit millions then. or at least a large lump sum.
Which is a possibility pending the release of the results of that hip injury.
Correct. But with that news, I think because he doesn't have it, he's going to come back to Alabama for another season. Because Wyatt, he could still declare for the draft, but I think that would be a huge risk not having that insurance.
Well, also, he's got to – they have to identify – and this is where I think Nick Saban will really help this young man with his relationship with the NFL and the NFL coaches to try to figure out where they truly – you know, because a lot of these reports that come out where they say, well, you know, the NFL lists this guy as a second round. Well, really, he's a third or fourth rounder. A lot of times they do it for publicity. But I think with Tua, they're going to be able to get some really valuable information on where they see him projecting come draft time. And if they feel like he can recover from this injury and play another year and stay at Alabama, that would, if that would enhance it, or should he go on and go, depending on how far he falls. Now, he may get an NFL draft grade back that says, well, he only dropped from the top five to the top 20.
Well, will he be fully healthy by the time the combine rolls around? Because, you know, that really determines everything.
Right, he now won't need it.
Just based on past tape?
Yeah, there's just certain guys that really don't even need to go to the combine.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're only going to have about one to three teams actually looking to draft a young quarterback.
Right.
Coming off that injury and previous injuries that he have, that could essentially drop him, especially with LSU quarterback stock starting to rise.
Yeah, not only that, you know, Chase Young is having a unbelievable year.
Exactly, yeah. And you see what Bosa is doing in San Francisco. So a lot of teams, you know, NFL is a copycat league. So they see defensive ends making an impact, especially what San Francisco is doing with Bosa. That could elevate the kid out of Ohio State right over Tua, which could cause his stock to drop.
Exactly. And then you've got to look at some of those players on Tua's own team, Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
You know, some of those guys.
Saying that they looked at Deshaun and become like, hey, the kid has elite talent around him. Is it the kid or is it the talent around him?
Exactly. So I think he's in a really good position with the people he's got surrounding him there at Alabama, that they're going to be able to get some really hard figures on where the NFL really sees him from a positional standpoint. Now, you know, we've seen some teams, I mean, look, Jerry Jones drafted Jalen Smith. Bum knee and all, didn't matter.
Well, you know, the Cowboys doctor, they performed a procedure on Jalen Smith. So they knew inside information no other team knew.
Exactly. So if they can ascertain he's going to make a full recovery from that hip, you know, the thing that I don't like is when he first got injured, people automatically started putting him in the category, oh, it's just like Bo Jackson.
Yeah, I heard that a lot.
And it's not like Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson ruptured, excuse me, he completely tore the artery that feeds the hip socket of his hip, where his leg connects to his hip. He completely severed that artery.
That shows how powerful Bo was.
Exactly. That's what, and then he was able to come back and go back to the Major League Baseball.
That guy, the tall tales about Bo Jackson. If you guys never seen that 30 for 30, please look. That's one of the best ones I've seen.
To this day, amazing
stories about Bo Jackson.
To this day, the greatest players that I've had the pleasure of seeing, the greatest athletes that I have ever witnessed with my own eyes, was Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson.
Never got the opportunity to see Bo, but I saw Deion.
I mean, imagine, think of a guy that's 6 foot tall, 230 pounds, with, I wouldn't say that Bo Jackson's faster, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was. But imagine a guy that big that could run every bit as fast as Deion did.
Yeah. But twice the size.
But twice the size. And could hit a baseball 500 feet.
Yeah, Bolt, man, I'm telling you, that 30 for 30. You remember that one story, said he was in a batting cage and he hit the ball and tore the whole cage down.
Yep. Yep. Well, the favorite one that I have is the one that Howie Long tells, because he was on that Raiders team. And Matt Millen was a linebacker. The GM, Matt Millen.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know Matt Millen played in the NFL. And he was a pretty dang good player.
Yeah.
Well, he was a linebacker on that team. And he didn't know who they had drafted. All they did is say, hey, I think he was on his fishing trip somewhere. And so when it's time to report, he suited up. And he goes to make a play. They run a toss sweep with this rookie running back. And Matt Millen's saying to himself, I'm getting ready to unload on this kid. The next thing I know, I'm grasping air. And Matt Millen jumps up, and Howie Long's laughing at him. And he goes, what are you laughing about? He goes, man, you can't tackle Bo Jackson. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into the final segment of the second hour here at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in on Straight Up with Sturge. To my left, one Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast. TB, I want to thank you for coming in on a Friday, headed into an exciting weekend. I mean, if you love sports, this is a great time of year. The NFL is wrapping up and heading. We're trying to figure out where all these NFL seedings are going to be for the playoffs, who's going to win the division. Out of several, although I think at least three or more is already decided. College football is winding up. We're getting ready to start rivalry weekend next week. We've got the NBA has started. College basketball has started. A little NBA discussion. A lot of things going on with Carmelo, I'm seeing.
Yeah, he just was recently signed by the Portland Trail Blazers. Somehow got the job to start, but Portland is really banged up, and that team is kind of a shell of themselves. Definitely not performing up to expectations this year.
My Boston Celtics looking pretty good early, though, I got to say.
I like Boston.
I'm pleasantly surprised with what I'm seeing, and I'm even more surprised that the Stephanie Curry show looks like it's ending in fire and destruction.
Well, I'm not going to speak on Golden State, but Boston.
No, we are going to talk on Golden State, my friend. You Steph Curry apologist over there. I want one TB Butler to tell me what is going on with the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, what do you want them to do? KD is gone. Steph is hurt. Klay is hurt. They're a completely different franchise right now. Completely different team.
They got Steve Kerr.
They have a bunch of D-leaguers on the court right now.
They got Steve Kerr.
I've never been a fan of Steve Kerr. I was telling people this is going to be the year where you can see if Steve Kerr can actually coach or not. He's not on Popovich or Rick Carlisle level by any means. And looking at the team, look at Draymond. Draymond, a lot of people kept saying he's this Hall of Fame player and he's this perennial all-star. He looks awful out there. And that's a reflection of Steve Kerr. If you have one all-star, you shouldn't be that bad. And the Golden State Warriors
trash.
Are the worst team in the NBA right now.
And I couldn't love it more.
And it's not even close.
Couldn't love it more. But only if the Lakers crashed and burned.
Yeah,
what are we going to do with the Lakers? Lakers got a chance to hoist the O'Brien trophy. What do we got going in LA?
Possibility, man. They're looking real good. The chemistry is there. LeBron is playing a position I thought he should have been playing his whole career, which is point guard. And look and behold, he's leading the team. Well, not the team, but the NBA in assists. They're looking good, man.
And who's coaching?
What the Clippers are going to do.
Who's coaching the Lakers?
Vogel. Frank Vogel used to coach the Pacers.
Did a great job with them.
He was solid.
They got a lot of – he had bad luck with injuries.
Yeah, Paul George.
Yeah, you had to mention that one. Oof,
Granger was their superstar before Paul George.
Was.
He went down a lot. So, yeah, Frank Vogel, he's a decent – but they have a great coaching staff. Jason Kidd is over there. Lyle Collins, very, very experienced coaching staff.
closer to home, Clemson last night got a 76-43 victory over the mighty Alabama A&M. Is that right? They played Alabama A&M?
Yeah.
And they won by 33. I doubt that's going to save Brad Brownell's job, especially when they got to face Duke. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.